there's a real and eye-opening cause on what our nation and even our church is going through right now. But there is a solution to that problem. We know what's happening in Bangladesh and different places in the world where our brethren are being persecuted or can't keep the Sabbath as they should. I know when we lived in Europe years ago, in England, in France at that time, it was against the law for the children to be kept home on the Sabbath from school. And so it presented our brethren in France with a real dilemma. How do we get our kids educated? And the law is that they have to go to school on the Sabbath. And they had to deal with those issues and had to do what they could. And if you didn't go to Sabbath school, to regular school, you were denied entrance into a university. You had to pick a trade, which was fine. There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people have great careers in trade. Problem was that they had no choice. And this happened right through lots of places in Europe, and Holland was one of the areas. I remember dealing with them at that time when I was in the work in Britain. And it was a real tribute, a trial for our people, and they were facing problems that were not unlike what we're dealing with today in a different way, because it got a different issue in different areas. But the question is, if we had a solution to some of the problems in our nation, would the nations do anything about it? And how about the church, even, when faced with a problem? Would the church stand up to the problem? Because we can be deceived as well. And that we have to be careful that we can be deceived and the people of God can be deceived. And I think that is going to be a trial and a tribulation that we're going to be facing as we go through time here. Are we prepared not for just the return of Jesus Christ, but are we prepared for the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ? Because it's going to get very difficult very quick. Because the world is going to be putting in places that are going to be anti everything you believe. And we can see that happening. Let's go to Isaiah 1 and start here with verse 1. Isaiah 1, verse 1. God's talking to his people here, and he's talking really to his whole plan of God, because God, we'll get into that in a minute, but he says, "Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." You know, God had a plan when he started off in Genesis 1:26. He created man out of the dust of the earth, and he had a purpose for man. And the man was to be able to be tried and groomed to be in his kingdom, in the spiritual world, in God's kingdom. That was the whole plan of God from the beginning. And of course, man's got way off track, forgotten what the whole plan of God is, rejected it in many, many ways. And so he says, "And they have rebelled against me. The ox knows the owner, and his donkey its master's crib." So even the animals that are under us, in that sense, know who their owners are in most cases. I know living with my grandfather's farm, he knew where the cattle were. They knew him. It was incredible, the relationship that he built with his whole farming community, you might say. But he said, "But Israel are the nations," in this case, and that's us. Israel today is us, "does not know. My people do not consider, alas, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who have corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backwards." That's the condition we're starting to live in right now. We're faced with that every day. "They have departed from God and perverted his ways and his commandments." Is it any wonder we have problems? We reject God, his teachings, his way, the things of life that give you the way and direction to live your life every way. He says, "They have broken down every single commandment." They've thrown out everything of God. Every single commandment has been broken in some way or totally disregarded. starting with the Sabbath and going all the way down through our relationship, the first four commandments, our relationship with God has completely been eliminated. And you just realize people are going off on their own. They rejected God completely. They are feeling their way of the way they want to live and not ways God. And if you, I don't know if you've noticed this, but you know, people that worshiped Satan previously, it was kind of quiet. You didn't hear much about it. Now it's blatant. I mean, people are very much aware that people have Satan worship, building temples and shrines to Satan and worshiping him over God, the Creator God. And that's because God, I mean, let's face it, Satan, he's very tempting, isn't he? That's what he is. He's a tempter. He makes it look very good, very bright, cheerful, exciting. I'll give you a benefit. You know, come join me. We'll have some fun. And that's, the world has moved in that direction very rapidly. We have rejected God, his ways, his commandments totally. And God has warned us over and over not to fall into that trap that Satan has led. I mean, Jesus Christ, before he was, one of his final things that he had to go through was the temptation of Satan completely when he was at his weakest. And yet Satan came and tempted him, and he turned it right back around and rejected Satan. But you got to realize that never in that whole three tempting that he gave did Satan ever, did Christ ever correct him and said, no, you're not the ruler of this world now. Satan is the ruler of the world today, and he's really exercising his power now, becoming more and more aware that Satan is in charge of everything that's going on in this world today, and we'll see the aftermath of that. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. You know this very well, so I won't read everything, but I'll read the interest to part of it. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28, and verse 1-3. It's the blessing and cursing chapter we know well. I'll just read the first three verses. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently, now listen to the word, diligently, it's conditional, obey my voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. No reason for us not to be blessed. God's given it all the instructions to how to be blessed. And he said in verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So it's conditional. If we do these things, then God's going to bless us. And he gives all the blessings that come on our nation individually. If we just continue to obey God's voice and keep his commandments. So the key word here, obey my voice, keep all of his commandments diligently. So we have to not only give it a cursory overview, we got to live by it and be dedicated to it in some way. Let's go, Chad read the scripture, but I'll read it again. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, 17. Said all scripture is given by inspiration or God breathed of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be what? Complete. That's what God wants. We're not complete without God's complete Holy Spirit in us, making us complete. Still up to us. But once we've been baptized, we repented, and we baptized, and God gives us his Holy Spirit, we have the human spirit. Now we have God's spirit. It makes us whole. And then if we continue to live his way of life, then we're complete. And God will see us into the kingdom of God. But all these things are conditional. It's if we keep his commandments diligently. And that's not an easy task. Don't tell me. I've been at it for a long time. And I've still got a long ways to go. Not sure if I'm running the race right now, and the time's getting shorter all the time. And you wonder, where did the last 50 years go? And And care how long it's been, whether it's been 1 week or a month or whether you've been at it for 50 years, you still got the same thing to overcome. And you got to be able to keep on track along that line. But in Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to drop down to the cursing place. So Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 through 45 for your information. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I have commanded you, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So God's given a clear warning here. Mankind has no real excuse. And of course, they've rejected it even after they read it. They don't believe it. You know, they're talking about the Bible being a fairy book. It's not really true. It's not really the inspired word of God. Well, they're going to find out one day it is the inspired word of God. Let's go to verse 45. Drop all the way down to verse 45. You can read the cursings on your own and see what happens if you don't obey the law of God. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you and pursue you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you, and they shall appear upon you for a sign and a wonder. Well, mankind's gone even to the extent of saying, well, I don't know, God's law has been done away with. It was nailed to the cross. It's complete. You don't have to keep God. I saw an interview where this guy who's a preacher said, well, that whole thing was a fake anyway. You didn't have to really keep God's law. And when Christ did come, he nailed it on the cross. So the law has been totally done away with. Well, let's turn over to Matthew 5, and I'm going to go through verse 17 through 19. And I'm going to read this a little better this way. In verse 17, he said, do not think, this is Jesus Christ talking. This is Matthew 5. In verse 17, he said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Very key. Don't think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to make complete, to give greater understanding to the law. He didn't come to get away. All you had to read is through verse 17 through 19. And realize that everything they've come up with is totally erroneous. He goes in verse 18, he says, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, and we're still on the earth, aren't we? If I miss something, I guess we're still here. So consequently, it says here, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And that is not the death of Jesus Christ, but is the coming of Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom on earth, and we are his saints, and then eventually the tabernacle of God will come to the earth itself. That's completion. That's when everybody has made it, that's going to make it, and are going to be spirit beings, and it's going to be a spiritual world. That's when it's talking about it will be fulfilled. Verse 19, wherever there breaks one of these least of these commandments and teaches them, which is being done now in the churches of this world, man so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever does teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of God or heaven. So clearly, even if you turn back to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 is talking about the return of Jesus Christ or the establishment of Jesus Christ coming in the future. And he says that in that scripture, and I think it's in verse 21, it says, he will magnify the law, make it clear, establish the law and make it what is already in the scriptures, make it clear. So he's already talking about the forecast of Jesus Christ coming. He didn't say, well, no, Jesus is coming in the future and he's going to do away with the law. No, he said And Isaiah said, Jesus Christ is going to come and magnify the law. And when you get to John 12 and 49, John, let's see, let's turn over there. John 49, John 12, verse 49. John 12 and verse 49. This is Jesus Christ talking again. He says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Jesus Christ has given the understanding to us that everything he says, God the Father gave him those instructions direct. So the commandments of God are coming from God the Father through Jesus Christ to us. So to have the audacity to say that the law has been done away with is, not too happy with God in saying what he's thinking of that. So we are experiencing is that this is either a scare tactic by God, or is it the truth and word of God warning us to turn to him and repent? And that's the lesson we have here. Let's go to Amos 4 and verse 6. Amos 4 and verse 6. "Also I gave you cleanness of teeth." He's talking about the future when there's going to be famine in the earth and whatever. He's talking about cleanness of teeth. You won't have food in your mouth anymore, so that your teeth will be clean. In your cities and the lack of bread in all your places, and they're already having forecasts about shortage of food coming up in the near future in the United States right now. You wouldn't think of it going into a grocery store today necessarily, but to think in a very short time, the shelves could be empty and there won't be any food available to you. He talks about the locusts devour them. We've had that big problem here this last summer in Africa and different places. It went all the way down to China with this overload of locusts, just devoured everything in the land. "Yet you have not turned to me." Even while these punishments that he's pouring out on some of the people, he goes on to say, "Yet with all this I'm doing, you still have not returned to me, says the Lord. I sent you among a plague." We saw the COVID, what happened there, "after the manner of Egypt, yet you have not returned to me." So constantly he's warning God's people and the people of the nations, hey, keep my laws, keep my commandments, and you can be salvaged from the disaster that's coming. Now, this is not just affecting us in the States here. This is a worldwide problem. And I could go through a number of things where the CO28, I don't know if many of you have read about that, what's going on, but I'm in oil and gas, and therefore I'm very much aware of what's happening with our current administration trying to close down what we've been given as a nation as a gift. And the gift is we got oil and gas to keep our country flourishing, heating, energy, you name it. We've been given natural resources that are staggering. And yet our administration is shutting it down point by point to where they want to eliminate that. Now, in the CO28 being meeting of the Arab nations, the United States was all in attendance there, as China is. They're talking about eliminating all production of natural resources, oil and gas, that type of thing, and going to a different type of energy, electricity, hydrogen, anything but fossil fuels. That's what it amounts to. And these are nations that are oil-producing nations that are turning because, quote, climate control. You got to be careful of that. You might die of something, you know, you never can tell. But anyway, we're seeing that happening in our own nation, that the gifts were now, we could be self-sufficient in gas and oil and have plenty of energy. Our inflated prices of oil and gas would come rocketing down to where it should be. And yet we're now buying oil and gas from our enemies. Iran and Venezuela being two of them. So that doesn't even make sense when you think about it. I mean, so I'm talking about decisions when Satan gets involved, logic goes out the window. Normal human beings don't think the way they should. Logically, you would say, hey, we got all these natural resources. We've got all the teams. We got the energy people. They've already done it once. They could do it again. But no, we're going to shut it down here and buy it from foreign countries. At the same time, China is making conditional pledges saying, oh yeah, we'll tune into climate control. At the same time, they're building six major coal producing facilities. Mr. Let's say our administration has closed down most of our coal producing facilities in the United States. About 5 years ago, I dealt with Senator Manchin out of West Virginia because we had an alternative to what to make up the difference in terms of what he was losing by having the coal mines in West Virginia shut down by the government. And what that was doing to his economy and the state of West Virginia and to the people. Because once you close a coal mine, it builds up methane inside the tunnels, and that's lethal. So when you go to the area around the mines, everything's dead, totally. And some of the cities that were supported by the coal mines are virtually deserted. So he's seen this happen in his own state, and yet he's been totally unable to make an indent on getting it changed. So we have resources, and yet we're not using those resources. And that's a punishment from God, because if we were to obey, and I'll get to that in a few minutes, but these are some of the problems we're faced with in our country. And I don't see it getting any better. One of the big things we need to be really concerned about, and I'll only dwell on this one, and I hope you've been reading it, because it is a serious situation. It's called digital currency. I don't know how much you read about that. This is where the government is trying to eliminate all currency, green stuff. It's all beyond the computers. So your bank accounts and everything will be controlled by the government and the banks. So you will not be able to buy and sell. And this is even before the mark of the beast, but it's a good forerunner, because they've established 130 nations in the world have signed into this deal, and the central bank will be established in Europe and has been already. And these 130 nations are already signed up to sign into the digital currency. Worldwide, the United States has signed in as well. All the major banks are already in the process of making it available across the board. That's Mellon, that's Bank of America, that's all of them. Everybody is going to be part of that. Something to be aware of, not to be afraid of, because we have to rely on God more and more as time goes on. So I just want you to be aware of some of the things, be alert. I know some people, even the church, don't even like to read about some of these things, and I understand that, because it can get pretty depressing and make you even angry sometimes to think of what our administration and different people are doing. You think, well, what's the common sense? Just think common sense, what that does. And so just be aware of it, that God is saying, as God's people, we'll talk about that in a minute, need to be aware of these things, not be frightened about them, but just be prepared by being on our knees and knowing that this God is going to take care of us. And our major goal in our life, bar none, is you're part of this, or part of God's family. You've been called for one thing, to be in His kingdom, in His family. And that is the number one goal all of us should have. And sometimes that gets away from us. Not that you don't have your physical life. You got to live, take care of your family, your children, whatever. But the number one thing is you plan for yourself and your children to be in the family of God. Most have never really experienced the conditions that are coming upon us, and we need to be prepared that, you know, the blessings that we've had in our country have been unique. We've been blessed by God because God, it was two nations, England and the United States, and we're coming down very rapidly. The destruction of both countries is just almost dynamic. It's so apparent, you know. Only God knows what the final outcome is going to be. He's got prophecies you can read on what's going to be happening in the future. Many people are burying their heads in the sand, unfortunately, and that's even in the church. The signs and conditions are returning to God, repenting of their sins, and seeking God with all their minds and hearts. That includes some of the churches of God as well. And this is an area of great concern, I think, for all of us. We were talking about how we could help each other, like Gideon. Well, part of our thing is that we need to support each other, encourage each other in God's family, because we've been called out uniquely for a special purpose to be in the family of God. So of all the people in the world, God's people should be aware of what's happening and going to happen and is coming to happen. We know what the end is going to be. As Mr. Armstrong used to say, I've read the end of the book and we win. But in the process, we got to make some pretty tough decisions along the way. And it's going to be a test of faith as we go along. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. I'm just going to read two verses. There's probably one of my favorite scriptures to read because it is amazing. When I first came to the church, I could tell you a story about sitting with Mr. Armstrong in his den when he was coming, when God was revealing to him what this really meant and how the mind of God was flourished by having the Spirit of God in him. Then he says in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? That's a human area of spirit of being. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So he's saying that without the Spirit of God, you really can't understand God's plan or God's way of life. You can have great intelligence, and you can do a lot of research and studies into prophecy and Bible knowledge and whatever, and still not understand the purpose of man, the purpose of God, the plan of God. That only comes with God revealing it to you through His Holy Spirit that comes when you're baptized and repent of your sins. Those are the things, you know. So God is revealing these things to each and every one of us in the church, so we aren't going to be taken by surprise. But, you know, we need to know that, make no mistakes, this is Satan's world. And he's going to be putting his power into the governments of this earth. And he's doing that right now. So the illogical arguments and justifications for breaking God's laws and his commandments are Satan, the devil, deceiving the whole world, as we read in Revelation. That's happening right now before us. Let's go to 2 Timothy again, chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, which we're in right now, perilous times will come. He's warning us ahead of time. For men will be lovers of themselves, and we see that all around us, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow, that's an indictment right there, isn't it? But when you think of the organizations that are now being established and moving very rapidly, like the World Economic Forum, even the health organization, WHO, the guy who was the original form that formed the WHF and left, His son, he died, he was actually assassinated, and a new order took over with the World Economic Forum. And the son of this guy that was assassinated, I have just read this recently, is now suing some of these heads lead because he got infected by the COVID shots and he's dying now. And so he's dying. He said, you know, I was deceived. I bought into the whole thing that this was going to be a good thing to have these shots. Now I'm dying. So he's suing these people. And he's calling that these organizations, Geneva, where they're all based, is the seat of Satan. And I thought, well, that's very interesting. This guy who was part of the original establishment and then saw the corruption starting to come into it and opted out. Father was assassinated. So he was a firsthand view of what was happening in these societies. And we talked about when United first formed back in 95 spring, we talked about one world government coming. And it was like, it's just conspiracy, you know, and it was kind of put down. You couldn't talk about it. You couldn't preach about it, whatever. But one world government, nah, it's not a conspiracy anymore. It's openly discussed worldwide in major governments around the world. It is being organized right now as I sit here and speak. It's not conspiracy. This is happening. This is part of God's plan of you disobey me, this is what's going to happen. This is going to lead up to the tribulation, the return of the beast, and a false prophet. He said, I'm going to have to return. My son's going to come and put it back on. Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 4. Matthew 24 and verse 4, it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, and we see this all around us. I am it, for I am the Christ. I will deceive many. Let's see, he said, these are deceptive people. And he said, they will deceive many. They preach a false Christ. They talk about Jesus the man, but not about the message he brought. He came preaching of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The gospel? Really? It's talking about grace. He's talking about forgiveness of sin, that Christ came and paid the penalty for us so we could have everlasting life if we repent and change. I work with some very strong Christian people in terms of the world's feeling, but when you think of their language and various ways they conduct their lives, and of course, totally deceived when it comes to the Sabbath, some of the first commandments of God just all wiped out. They just have a whole different idea of how to live their life. They profane God's holy Sabbath day and his holy days, substitute pagan customs. Saw a little clip where a famous evangelist gets on the air, which I was really surprised, talks about Christmas being pagan, all these different issues. He just blatantly said it out loud, and I thought, wow, really? He said, but, everybody thinks of it as a wonderful thing. You know, they're sucked right into it, even though they know it's pagan and where it came from, what the origination was. Let's go over to 1 Timothy back again. And let's go to chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, and for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornications, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. These are what the law is made for people to see their sins. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. This is Paul and Timothy talking here. But these are the instructions that Paul was given a young minister who was about to go out there and take his place. Let's go to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 in verse 8, and we'll go through verse 12. He said, now go write it before them on a tablet so they can make no mistake. Let's write it down. Let's make it very visible. I'm going to write this law down. I want you to listen to me. Now go write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us in smooth things, easy to hear. Let me tell you some good things. Prophecy deceits. Then they say to God, get out of my way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. That's the attitude of people. Can you imagine that? Telling God himself, stay out of my life. Get out of here. And then, of course, we have to be careful as ministers in the Church of God that we don't get in the habit of speaking smooth things. Because that's very easy. I can talk about all sorts of wonderful things that are happening in the world, and I'd be deceiving you totally of what's really happening out there. You don't live in a world of doom and gloom. We got God's Holy Spirit. That ought to give us the energy and the happiness that knowing that God has chosen us out of this world for a special calling to be the firstborn of human beings into the kingdom of God along with Jesus Christ. That's the blessing that we have, the happiness that we can share. But he goes on to say, get out of the way and then cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. And that's right now, today. Let's go to Jeremiah 5. Because the prophets have a lot to say about what's happening in the end time. And it can happen to us in the church. It's happened before in the churches of God down through history. He said, Jeremiah 5 and verse 20, declare this to the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judea, saying, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, who have ears and hear not, do you not fear me? God says to the people of God, this is a question. God's saying, do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? What's he saying in another scripture? He says, don't worry about the man, a physical man that can kill you, but worry about God the Father who can kill you spiritually forever. And you won't make it into the kingdom of God. So God says, do you not fear me? But this people have a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, for he gives us the rain, both the former and the latter in the seasons. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. You know, we don't even teach the fear of God really anymore. That's sad to say. And that may be an indictment on the people of God that we aren't passing that on to our children, that there's a respect for God in what he says. And in that is a certain fear of the repercussions of not obeying God. Now, it's not something he wants to beat you over the head with. He's just letting you know that, look, I've given you blessings. Follow my laws and commandments. I've given them to you for your benefit, for something that's going to make you live prosperous and make you live in the kingdom of God and spirit beings forever. We have no idea what God has in store for us. That's another thing in 2 Corinthians says, man does not understand or see what God has in store for us in the future. You can read through the scriptures and get an idea, but we really don't know. But it's got to be incredible. So all these things he's given us, and we got to be careful that we don't respect God and we aren't fearful of him or losing our relationship with him. And I'm afraid that's not being taught to our kids that deeply. Verse 29, shall I not punish them for these things? God's asking the question. He said, shall I not punish them for breaking my laws and my commandments? Says the Lord, shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? So he's asking a question. He's looking down on the world that's going on. He sees all the terrible abuse, and you just read some of these things of what they've come up with and what they've seen, and it's pretty awful what man does to man. And it's not a pretty thing. Don't even want to talk about it. I started to give a sermon one time in Dallas years ago, and I just was covering a subject of children being abused in certain parts of the Asian area, let's put it that way. And I had to stop because I realized it was too much for a broad audience with children in the group. But if you read and are aware of the abuse and the terrible things that children are going through in some of these world areas, it's shocking to realize that Satan has confused the world, that they would allow these things to take place. But the church has to be aware of these things as well. Let's go to Revelation 3 and verse 14, because he writes a letter, inspires a letter to be written to a church, the church of Laodicea, one of God's church, not some church outside of the purview of God's. It was his church. He said, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Spew you out of his mouth. To vomit you out of his mouth. Pretty strong words. Stern warning from God to God's church. Do we hunger and thirst for God's word? That's something we have to be aware of all the time. I'm not going through, there's a scripture, I had my notes here to read Matthew 7, 1 through 5, talks about judging not and taking the plank out of your own eye before you address a problem with your brother. And I'll just skip down to Matthew 5, 7 and verse 5. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. That happens all the time, even in God's church, unfortunately. So we need to be focused on the kingdom of God and the return of Jesus Christ and the events that are leading up, because they're going to be pretty challenging for all of us. We need to keep asking, seeking, knocking, and being aware so that we will be prepared when hard times come upon us and not be shocked or unaware, as Christ warns us over and over again, are you, am I ready for the events that are coming up before the return of Christ? And I, for one, don't want to live through the latter part, certainly not the day of the Lord. And we see that echoed over and over again in different scriptures, particularly in Joel and Amos, when you see that he talks specifically about the return of Christ, the day of the Lord, which is at the end of the tribulation, the last year, and the things he's going to pour out on the earth and on people to get them to repent. But he will give them that opportunity because he's a loving God. He's going to give them chances, just like us now, to repent. Jeremiah 18 and verse 7. The hope is that, and we have hope, the instant he says this, Jeremiah 18 verse 7, shows you the kind of God we worship. He says, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, and to destroy it. I've already given that determination. That's what's good. But if that nation, and this applies to us individually as well, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will repent or relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. So thank God, God has that loving aspect that he applies it to us individually as well. That God is a merciful, all-loving God and Father who also states he would that none would perish. That's in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, I'm not going to read that, but he talks, he would that none should perish and that all people would come to repentance. Let's finish up in Revelation 3 and verse 19. I'm going to wrap it up here pretty quick. Revelation 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and him with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, Jesus Christ, we know, lived, died, sacrificed, lived a perfect life. He was resurrected, and the wave sheaf offering was Jesus Christ being offered to God as a perfect first human being made into spirit. And we follow in that same standing invitation. James 1 and verse 12 said, blessed is the man or woman who endures temptation, for when she or he has been approved by God, he will or she will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him and keep his commandments. Revelation 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3 and verse 5. He overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Just think of this. When we're resurrected, Jesus Christ will present us to his Father, and he will introduce us directly. He said, he who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's who he's speaking to here. Let's go to Joel 2 and wrap it up here with this scripture. Joel 2 and verse 12. So this whole chapter is talking about the day of the Lord. Starting off in Joel 2 and verse 2. But it's the day of the Lord. Let's drop down to verse 12. Joel 2, verse 12. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning and study and prayer. These are the things we need to be working on right now. We need to be studying more, praying more, fasting, preparing ourselves for the things that are coming ahead of us. That's what we all have to do. And as Prophet Amos stating God's request is that all they have to do is return to me and keep all my commandments and statutes, and the nations of the world would be shocked at how fast things will turn around. But will they? Will the church learn the lessons too? Will we all really prepare ourselves? I've thought many times if I go through some of these things and have to step back and do some analysis, am I ready to be able to stand up like the apostles did? Was the only one that was not martyred was John? How about the prophets? Most of them died in the service of God. About the people down through the years in the Church of God, like the Waldensians that were persecuted, carried off, burnt at the stake for what they believed in. So am I prepared to go through it? Do I have the courage? I have to ask myself that all the time. Do I have the courage to stand up that if I had to make a decision of whether I obey God or obey Satan in the world, those decisions we may have to face. Now, they may not be in my lifetime yet, But certainly our young people may be faced with that. We need to pray for them that they have the strength and the courage to be able to face up to what may be coming down line. But that applies to, because that can happen anytime. We just need to be prepared and our relationship with God is strong enough to overcome no matter what faith we face with.